All right, are you ready? All right, get your Bibles. You're going to need Matthew chapter 6 in just a little bit. It's the Lord's Prayer. Today we're talking about forgiveness. And so it is the will of God that you forgive. All right, I'm on a series, and the series is the will of God. And so we're just walking through, and the more we do this, we're going to walk through very practical areas of life of what is the will of God. Because we're going to pray and live with conviction, then we need to know the will of God. And so today, I want you to be assured that it is the will of God that you forgive. I don't care who it is or what the circumstances, the will of God is for you to forgive. Now, here's the one thing that I think that unites us. We let all the little kids go. And so I'm almost positive that if you're in the room, somebody has hurt you. All right? Because you can't hardly get to middle school without somebody hurting your feelings, saying hurtful things to you. And so it's the one thing that, if there's one thing that we have in common this morning, it is this. I bet everybody in the room has been hurt, except for little Elijah back there. I see he's still in here. But as you grow and as you do life, hurt comes our way. And it includes things like when people hurt our feelings and the words that they say. I'll use that on sort of the lower end of the spectrum, although that is still incredibly painful if you've walked through that. When somebody accuses you. Has anybody ever accused you falsely? Oh, that hurts. It hurts when they accuse you rightly. It still hurts, right? But it hurts when people accuse us. When we have been lied to or we've been lied about. It hurts. It creates a wound inside of us when we have been let down. We think about issues of being abandoned, of being neglected, of being passed over in the workplace. If you've ever gone through divorce, that is a perfect breeding ground for the need for forgiveness and unforgiveness, is it not? Perfect breeding ground. And as we move along the spectrum, you move into things like violence, physical harm, abuse, sexual abuse, loss of life when life is taken. And so there's this great spectrum, really, of all the ways that we can be hurt and wounded. And it includes the people that are often the most closest to us. Now, I understand that there is violence that happens from total strangers. I understand that. But I want you to know that most often, it's the people that are closest to us that hurt us in the most serious ways. Why? It's because they're the ones that have access to our lives. Most total strangers don't have that kind of access, but your mom and dad do. And so when they didn't do the things that mom and dads do, that creates a wound inside of you. When your husband or your wife, when they don't do the things that you thought they were supposed to do, that creates a wound. And so it is the people that are closest to us. It's important that we talk about it as a church because we're supposed to live in community with one another. In fact, some of you may be shying away from community because you've been hurt. That's the nature of unforgiveness, is to want you to live alone in isolation so you don't live among community. But I want to tell you this today. I'm going to show you how to forgive. I'm going to show you from the Scripture, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to do it. Because as Christians, this is our territory. Did you hear me? As Christians, this is our territory. If there's anybody supposed to know how to do forgiveness, it's us. We should own this ground, and we ought to be able to help other people take that ground. Now, I understand that church is made up of all kinds of church fights and church splits and all those kind of things. And you're probably wondering, well, it looks more like fights and splits than it does anything else. And I would say, yes, the battle is real. But this is our ground. And by God, we're going to take it. And so here, let's pray. Father, we need to have new ears to hear. Some of this may sound familiar. Some of it may sound different. But Lord, we need a new reaction to it. We need something more than nodding. People need to walk through real forgiveness today. God, I know that is your will. I know that is your desire for our lives. There's everything from lower ends of unforgiveness to, Lord, we can't be in a room this large without there being some significant hurt in the room. And so we're united by this one thing, that you want us to live free. and that you want us to live forgiven. And we're going to pursue that, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we got to talk about some misconceptions first, because there are a few of those out there. One of those misconceptions is this, that all you have to do is just say, I forgive. That's the full nature of forgiveness. If you can just muster up enough energy to look somebody in the face or through the phone or whatever and say, I forgive you. Now, the problem with that is we often say words we don't mean. Amen. And often the one that we do not mean is when we look somebody in the eye and say, I forgive you. That is actually the last thing that's going on inside of our heart and mind. I love God. And that when God says something, action follows. When he says, I forgive, forgiveness follows. When he says, let there be light, light follows. When he says, let there be whatever, it happens. But with humans, it's not like that. And so we can look someone in the eye and say, I forgive you. But our heart is screaming something different. So I want you to know today that we've got to move past this misunderstanding, this misconception that all you have to do is utter these magical words, I forgive you, and everything's better. It won't, because that's not how it works. I think we messed that up when we were kids. Let's talk about the education for a minute and parenting. If you've had more than one child, you've had a disagreement in your house, and you look at the one child who creates the offense, and you say, tell them you're sorry. You know? And you wait until that... Now, you tell them you're sorry. And they go, I'm sorry. Once again, we're not God. God would have meant it. You know, clearly the kid didn't mean it. As parents and as educators and all that stuff, we're not as smart. And so we think that was good. The kid's much smarter that's been on the offending end of it. And they say, he don't mean that. They know, right? But we do this little exercise, and we should quit, I think, because it really messes this thing up. You can't make someone say they're sorry. You can't make them sorry. Yeah? And you really can't make anybody forgive. And if we would take that to heart, I think that what we would want to pursue is that reconciliation happens and that relationships are restored, and we look at it from that point of view versus if we can just get one person to say I'm sorry and another person to say I forgive you. Oh, that's too shallow. That's one of the misconceptions. The other one is that when we've been hurt, that somebody's got to pay, right? Somebody hurt you, and so now somebody's got to pay for this thing before I can forgive. And they may pay in a simple way like an apology. Sometimes it's a fairly easy thing. And we think that if they'll just tell me that they're sorry and they'll say it in such a way that I believe that they mean it, then that's payment enough. And we can move on. But then there are times where we expect them to make things right, and they don't do it. You ever notice that we have expectations, a lot of expectations actually, on what other people are going to do? We have expectations of what they're going to do. And it's crazy because we can't make other people do stuff. You begin to see the nature of this problem. We want someone to pay. And sometimes they look us in the face and they're not even sorry for what they've done. Ooh, isn't that the worst kind? You know, it's like they've done something, they're not even sorry. It'd be helpful if they were just even sorry a little bit. And they're not. And so we want them to pay. And so we begin to go down this road of, well, if they won't pay, well, I'll make them pay. And so then we enter into those things that we just hate when we do them. You know, you ever cussed at anybody? You know, it's a good time for cussing, right? You know, when somebody's hurt you, you just lash back out with some profanity. You know, I'm gonna hurt back. And so we lash out. And that fixed it, right? That did it, didn't it? You were instantly cured of all unforgiveness as soon as you cussed. Nah. Okay, maybe we'll damage that person's reputation. Maybe what I'll do is I'll go around and I'll make sure everybody on Facebook knows what they did. And then when everybody knows just how dirty and rotten they are, then I'll feel better. And so I'll just damage their reputation. That worked, right? Right? No. If I could just find some physical way to do something, I just want to choke them. Right? If I could just choke them, I'd feel better. Right? I doubt very many of you have done that. Some of you may have. If you did, that didn't fix it, right? You got on this road. I just wish they were dead. You know, if they were just dead, if they were just somehow so far removed, and as far as I can think about them being removed is if they were dead. If they were just dead, it would all go away. I can tell you, if you're not there yet, it doesn't help. Even when the person that hurt you is dead and gone, it doesn't help. If you look at the people who don't understand salvation as they look through that glass window at a prison facility somewhere, and as a murderer is given the death penalty and is put to death, you would think that that would fix it. But it doesn't fix it. It never fixes it. They will say, well, it's closure. And I would say, yeah, there's some measure of closure about that. They'll not hurt anyone else. But did that help your heart? Did it heal your heart? And the answer is that it doesn't. And so here is the real nature of the problem. Most of the time when people have hurt you in the ways that most of you are thinking about, they have hurt you in a way that they cannot pay it back. Did you hear me? They can't pay it back. There's nothing they can do. You may have not thought about it this way, but they cannot pay you back. You cannot unsay what you said, right? We've all done it. Come on, follow me. You can't unsay stuff. Just like we can't unhear it, they can't unsay it. When they've done something to you, that you can't undo it. I've used this thing before. You can't unring a bell. That's the way of the nature of hurt. You cannot undo it, and they cannot pay. I want you to know that we got to. I'm not just preaching this morning, okay? There are real hurts. And when you think about things like violence and you think about sexual abuse, it begins to get clear that you can't undo those things, right? You cannot be unmolested. You cannot be unraped. You cannot be unwhatever. And they cannot pay that back. There is no price for that to be paid. Oh, this is getting serious. You're starting to get it, right? There is no price that can be paid for that. I tell people a lot of times, if I bump into your car, it's probably $500 to $1,500 or more in damages. Then we can take that to a shop somewhere, and they can fix it. They can, you know, pull the bump out, and they can put some Bondo or whatever they do, and I can pay that price of $500 or $1,500, and you can get a car back. But you can't unsay stuff. They can't unsay it. They can't undo it. It cannot be undone. And that is the misconception that we live with so many times, is that we are wanting someone to pay, but the reality is it cannot be paid for. Now you go, oh, wait a minute. Now what am I to do? Somebody should be asking, well, then what are we to do? Somebody asked me that. I'm glad you asked. I'm getting ready to tell you. All right. Here we go. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 12. This is the Lord's Prayer. Many of you have heard it. And we get to this section. It's always funny when you get to this section. You're leading somebody in the Lord's Prayer, and you get to this section, and you'll have three different answers to this question. Okay, you get to the part, and in my Bible it says in verse 12, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Everybody familiar with that? Most people familiar with that? You've heard it? Yep. If you are part of the Catholic tradition, they use the word trespasses. And that's one, an old way in which we've said it. And so if you're in a room and you lead that prayer, many people say, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us." Now you know where that comes from. The Catholics brought that into our lives. Most modern day translations say, "And forgive us our debts," or "forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven our debtors," or "the ones who have sinned against us." All right, fairly familiar verse. Now, look at it again more carefully. It's up there if you don't have a Bible. And this is how we pray to the Lord, because the disciples said, Jesus teaches how to pray to the Father. And so he said, this is how you pray to the Father. And he says, Father, essentially, forgive us our debts. Anybody see anything wrong with that? Anybody see anything wrong with that? That's not how we believe debts work. We believe that the debtor pays the debt. If you owe me $100, you pay me $100, right? If I borrow money for a house, I'm the person that's in debt. It's my responsibility to pay the debt. It's not the mortgage company's responsibility to pay the debt. If I buy a car and I borrow money from one of the banks here in town, it's my responsibility to pay back the debt. It's not the bank's responsibility to pay back the debt, right? I'm going to get that right in a minute. I'm getting ready to have lunch this afternoon, and if I borrow some lunch money from you, whose responsibility is to pay it back? It's mine. That's the way we think. That's not what it says. God, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Here's the secret of forgiveness. The secret of forgiveness is that most of us have wanted the other person to pay. But the secret of forgiveness is if you want to live unforgiven, you'll have to pay. Ooh, I got to let that sink in for just a minute. I got to let it sink in. The nature of forgiveness is that we want the other person to pay. But Jesus is telling us what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to pay. Now, here's an exciting thing about forgiveness. You're like, I don't know what he's talking about. He's crazy. And I would tell you, I'm not as crazy as I look, really. I've looked at this through other religions, and other religions have this same thing in common, that forgiveness is this, refusing to make someone else pay. If you look it up in the dictionary, under forgiveness, it says refusing to make others pay. If you look at mental health, the mental health community would describe forgiveness as refusing to make someone else pay. Now, everyone says it. Oh, but here's the beautiful thing. I don't know if you're going to get as excited about this as I am, but Jesus knew we were going to have problems with this. He knew we were going to have some issues with it. In fact, I believe on his way to the cross, he was having some issues with it himself when he said, Lord, if possible, could you let this whole thing just pass from me? I don't want to go this way. The thing that we have as Christians, that's why forgiveness is our territory, is because other people just talk about forgiveness. But Jesus demonstrated it. On the cross, Jesus was saying this, I know you cannot pay. You have a debt that you cannot pay, and so I will pay. Oh, that's beautiful. That is beauty and power in forgiveness. That Jesus said, there are things that you have done, there are sins, and there are trespasses, and it's created a debt, and you feel it inside. As much as our world tries to tell us that there's no guilt and there's no sin and all those things, there's something inside of us that says we're just not right sometimes. And Jesus says, I know you feel the debt, and I know that you've done things, and it would be foolish of me to think that you could pay. That's what law does. Living under the law says, I got to try to find some way to pay. I'll work harder. I'll be nicer. I'll go to church more. I'll read my Bible more. You can't pay that way because what you did, that won't fix it. And so Jesus knew it wouldn't fix it. And so when he goes to the cross, what does he do? He refuses to make you pay. He bears the sin. He bears the offense. He takes it to the cross and he says, I'll pay. I should have got more than that. I know you're having to let that sink in. But there is no other place. We got folks in the room from all different professions and all of that, and they'll all tell you that forgiveness is refusing to make someone else pay, but no one models it like Jesus. And so the picture of the cross is always the model of how you forgive. It is that most sins cannot be paid for, and so I must pay. Now the question is, well, how do you pay? Someone should ask that. I'm glad you asked. Here's how you pay. The first step truly is to get out of this world that thinks that this misconception that thinks that that person can ever do anything to fix this. Because many times that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago, right? It's not even happening today. And so it's not that situation that's causing the pain. It's your mind rehearsing it that's causing all the pain. It's all the rehearsing. It's all the thoughts. It's the anger against the person. It's all of those things. And so the first step truly is this. You realize they can't. And then when I say that you have to pay, here is what I believe that means. Brantley and I have been working on this together, because I know when you get to that part, you're like, how do I pay? It feels like I've already paid. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I believe it involves grief. And I believe it involves suffering. Because on the cross, that involved grief. And that involves suffering, right? And oftentimes we want a way in which we won't have to grieve, and a way in which we won't have to suffer, but I don't see any way around it, because it hurt you. And so the nature of the grief then has to not turn against that person, but you just have to examine what happened. And you have to admit, this is what happened, and this is how I feel about it. And then you have to allow yourself to grieve over it. It's almost like a dying, right? It's almost like a dying. You say, why would I do that? Well, let me point you to the cross. Because after the dying, what happened 3 days later? There was a resurrection. The reason you have not received a resurrection out of this unforgiveness is because we haven't walked through the dying yet. You know, we've been picking a scab is what we've been doing. You know, every day, every other day, we just keep picking that thing. And we can't figure out why it won't heal and why it won't get better. And it's because you're going to have to grieve the loss of it. What do I mean by that? Some, it can go easy. Some of you, I don't think you can do it today. In fact, you can call me and I will walk through it together if you're afraid. And I will tell you this, God will not ask you to go into the past unless He intends to help move you on in the future. So I know some of you are saying, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go back there. You know, don't make me go back and think about it. Don't make me go back and talk about it. I could get lost in the vortex and I could never come out. And I would tell you that is not what God has in mind. God would never ask you to go back unless He intends to allow you to move forward. And if you have unforgiveness, that's the thing you've not been able to do, is move forward. You're stuck, right? I know. I've been there. And so you have to go back and you have to honestly grieve it. And that may require you getting alone. It may require you taking a day off of work and buying a box of Kleenexes, maybe two, depending upon what it is. You may need a towel. I'm telling you, there are some hurts that you've got to grieve through them. And you've got to allow yourself to experience that apart from trying to make someone pay. And as you honestly grieve it, then the next step is you have a Savior, right? Yes, and He would not leave you there. The shepherd is going to move you out of that. And so that place that has been filled by unforgiveness, and it's been filled by bitterness, and it's been filled by hatred, it has to get filled with something. Otherwise, in a few days later, it could come back, right? And so what do? You fill it with the presence of the Holy Spirit. You fill it with the God of peace. And how do you know that He will come in? He will come in because you've put hate and you've put bitterness and you've put wanting to get paid back over here now. And you've realized that you're not going back there. And it allows God to fill you. And it allows for you to heal. And that is the secret of forgiveness. They cannot pay. You will have to honestly grieve the situation. And then that allows God to come in and begin to heal. And then what happens every time the thoughts come back? When the thoughts come back, you do the same thing. You refuse to punish. You refuse to make them pay. And you continue to allow God to forgive you. Now, I realize that there are some objections that are coming through your mind. So I wrote a few of them down. I'm trying to get ahead of you. All right? So I've tried to run ahead, all right, and help you with some of these. And so one of the objections is this: but Kevin, I've already paid. I've paid by what I've gone through. No, that's the initial hurt, and that's the initial wound. And that's improper forgiveness. And that's why it hasn't worked. Because you think that you've paid. And so rather than go through anything else, we want to lash out. We want to do something. And I will tell you this. You have been hurt mightily. But the only way to be free is to go down this road. Otherwise, you're dealing with impartial forgiveness, and it will rear its ugly head. Another objection, that this is going to let them go unpunished. You ever thought about that? But if I forgive them, it's going to let them go. It's going to let them go unpunished. And I would tell you this, there are some hurts, and I want to make sure that we're very clear about this. When it comes to violence and it comes to sexual sin, those things have to be reported. Do you hear me? Those things must be reported, because if they did it to you, they are likely to do it to someone else. And so we have to make sure that those things are reported. Forgiveness doesn't mean we just don't do anything and we just let them go. That is not forgiveness, all right? But what forgiveness does is it positions ourselves. Two quick things. I hope I don't lose track. Tim Keller. You need to write that down and look up some stuff that Tim Keller has done on forgiveness. It's absolutely amazing. If there are holes in this thing, I promise you he can fix them. He's so much better at that than me. R.T. Kendall is another person who wrote a book called Total Forgiveness. I used to think that was the best book that was ever written. Now I think what Tim Keller is doing is better. Because he goes through this nature of bearing the sin. And he gives the example of Jesus. But Tim Keller, R.T. Kendall, I lost my place just like I thought I would. What was I on? Oh, yeah, yeah. Tim Keller says that we overreach. When we haven't forgiven, we overreach. And we reach into these areas of hostility and bitterness and all of those things. And it doesn't resolve the situation. It actually makes the situation worse. Anybody ever done that? You know, your actions made it worse? Yeah. And that's what happens. And so when we forgive, we actually position ourselves so that there is, if any measure of justice is possible, that it can be taken. Next. But Kevin, you're asking me to condone their behavior. No, I'm asking you to address it with a pure heart. And our hearts are not pure when it's filled up with bitterness. And so we're not condoning what they did. We're not saying what they did is right. But what we're saying is that we will address it in a right fashion. And then this last one, Kevin, that's not easy. That's the one I would answer yes to. Yes, you are correct. It is not easy. I don't think the cross was easy. I think there was suffering. I think there was grief. I think there was pain. And it is not easy. And I'd be the last one to tell you that it is. But it is necessary. And the fact that some of you have been stuck proves that it is necessary. And so it is not easy. And it involves suffering. But it is important. And why is it important? It is important because most of the time the people that hurt us are the ones that we love. And God is a God of relationships. And so Jesus did not die on the cross in order that he could look at humanity in the world and say, "There, I've forgiven you. Now please get away from me. I don't want anything else to do with you." That's not what the cross was about, right? The cross was not about, "Okay, I forgive you. It's done. Now I don't want anything else to do with you." Nah, see, the cross is supernatural. What does the cross say? The cross says, "I forgive you. I bear the weight of your sin." Why? Because if at some point in the future we could have a relationship, I'd love to. Oh, man. There ain't nothing like that, folks. I'm telling you, I'll put my God against any other theology, philosophy, or religion, because everybody else talks about it. But my God walked it out. And I know that's probably the hardest one, and you might not even be anywhere near that right now. But I can tell you, when you honestly forgive, it positions us to right relationships. The reason that the church lives with so many broken relationships is because of the battle that Satan is fighting to keep us apart. And I would tell you that many of us are living in isolation. We won't enter into community. We won't let people get close because we're scared somebody's going to hurt us. And that is not the intention of life. God wants us to forgive to ask for forgiveness in order that relationships might be restored. So it is important. And I want to challenge. I want to challenge you to forgive. I want to challenge you to go down that road. I want to challenge you to take some other people with you. Here's the cool thing. We got some folks in the medical field here. I got to just give you. Can I give you a quick commercial on this? Okay. You're going to like this. Some of you here, there's other people in the medical community. You're going to like this. There was a surgeon, and he dealt with burn victims. That was his specialist. And so he did grafts and things like that. And he realized that, now this was astute. He realized that when people get burned, it's almost always because they did something really dumb, or you know, they shouldn't have been doing something, or somebody else made a mistake, and that's why you got burned. And so there's these issues of forgiving yourself and these issues of somebody did something on the job and it cost me, I got burned. And they come in with this unforgiveness. And so this doctor started working on a model of forgiveness that he would go through before he did the skin grafts. Now, the studies are just empirical, so they're not these studies that the Journal of Medicine or whatever does, you know. But he said that he found in his practice that if he could help people walk through a model of forgiveness, that the skin grafts work better. That doctors who dealt with, I guess it's cardiology, that's the heart, right, Mike? Okay. Mike's a surgeon, I figured I should ask. Okay. In dealing with the heart, is that if they could help people work through a model of forgiveness, that they actually had better results from things like heart surgeries and their hearts recovered better. And there is some science around that one. And that people in mental health are realizing that if they can help people to forgive, that things like depression decreases, the amount of medication that they're on decreases. And so it's really this one place where science and mental health and all of those things begin to come together. And there's a great deal of agreement on this, that forgiveness is important. It's important, y'all. And so for some of you who are in those areas, wouldn't it be cool if you guys could begin to take a model of forgiveness to the people in your family, that you could take a model of forgiveness into the schools? Oh my, what about that? If kids actually learned a real model of forgiveness at an early age, I bet we'd be better for that as adults, don't you? Instead of this silly nonsense of, I'm sorry, okay, I forgive you, type thing. In medicine and all of those things. All right, we've done enough, so here we go. Do you need to stand up or sit down? I think you need to sit down. That's good, because you already are. All right. Some of you there, you realize that you have too much, and if you need to call me, then I will walk with you down this road of unforgiveness, okay? Because I realize that you're thinking, man, I ain't got time today. You know, I'll be here all day. You know, and I would say that if you feel like that's the case, then you call me, okay? The people who are in the I-58 group, now you see where we're headed next, is that you might be a minister of reconciliation in this fashion. The world needs this, y'all. All right, so here we go. If you don't have any issues of forgiveness, you just pray for everybody else, okay? All right? If you're dealing with this, then I want you to close your eyes. We're going to work on this right now. I don't want you to even leave if you've got an opportunity to be to offer forgiveness. So here's what I want you to do. Step number one, who comes to mind? Maybe more than one. Maybe a bunch. And it may be from early, way back when you were a kid all the way through adult. And if so, we'll just have to pick one. We cannot forgive everybody in one fell brush, all right? So you pick one, all right? And now answer the question, how did that person hurt you, all right? And you could do that, right? Our minds are powerful. We think about these things all the time. So how did this person hurt you? Now's the place where you realize, is there any way they can pay? Is there any way, honestly, they can pay? And if they can, are they willing to? And the chances are probably not. So that means that you're going to have to pay. And so right now, allow yourself to experience the grief of it. It's a suffering like the cross. It's a dying like the cross. But we're going to refuse to make them pay because they can't. And so we'll grieve it right now. I'm going to give you just a minute. Yeah, thank you for taking it seriously. Yep. Allow yourself to fully feel it. This is a place where you can shed tears and it's okay. That's why we have Kleenexes on the stage. This is the secret to forgiveness, refusing to make them pay. And now as you begin to grieve that through your own emotion, separate from wanting to get back at somebody, wanting them to pay, now you draw on the power of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so all the places where there was hurt, bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, now those places have to be filled with the very presence of God. And so what ought to happen is you ought to start to breathe a little bit. All right? Some of you have been holding your breath. You're going to turn blue. All right. Here's the place where you can breathe again. Don't turn blue. All right. Here's where you can breathe. Breathe him in. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the breath of God. That's the very definition of the Holy Spirit. He is the breath of God. And so breathe him in. Breathe in his presence. Breathe in his peace. That's it. We're going to live again today. We're going to experience new life today. And if you're wondering, what am I going to do when I walk out of here? Then you're going to do this. You're going to stick to the point. You're going to refuse to make them pay. You will realize that you have grieved or that you may have to continue that grieving because you couldn't fully do it here. And then you will allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. You will walk again. And as time goes on, you will see that because you have not made that other person pay, that your mind is being renewed, that your emotions are being renewed, that thing that you thought couldn't happen is actually happening. I asked the Lord one time, Father, how will I know when I've truly forgiven? How will I know? And it's a process, you guys, okay? It's a process as well as it is an event. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I remember the day and where I was. He said, Kevin, you wouldn't have to ask. Isn't that good? How do I know when I've truly forgiven? You'll know as God begins to renew your mind and He begins to renew your heart. You'll ask that question, how do I know? And the answer will be, you won't even have to ask. You'll just wake up one day and you'll be, oh wow, how God has renewed me. That I've gone 3 days and I haven't even thought about it. I've gone 3 weeks and I haven't even thought about it. I've gone 3 months and it doesn't have the sting that it used to have. I've gone 3 years and it doesn't have the sting that it used to have. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh, it's been swallowed up in victory through the cross. Amen. God bless you. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.